don't allow Shemesh Kohen by benching.
And we mentioned the Yerushalmi has like that. There are three cases where we don't permit Shemesh Kohen. One is Kriya Shema, one is Tfilah, one is Brachas before and after eating food. Kriya Shema.
Sorry, you told us about Birchas Kohen. Some of them don't want the Yais about somebody else is doing, he would be listening.
Right, that was a big machlekes where they say Shemeh Kohen by Duchening. Right, that's the Yerushalmi only mentions these three, and you're right. Rabbi Tal Vilner, the Dayan in Vilna, the late 1800s, he was the older brother of Rabbi Shlomo Vilner. Rabbi Shlomo Vilner was Magi on the Vilna Shas. We all use the Gemara that he corrected the galleys when they were printing Achim Almana Rom were printing the Vilna Shas. That's how they say he did it balpeh. He didn't compare, didn't look at an old Gemara. He knew everything balpeh, the Gemara, Rashi, and the Tosfos. So he corrected the galleys balpeh. His grandson used to teach in the yeshiva in our times. Rabbi Markelis was his grandson. He taught in TI. So that's the tradition, the family tradition that the grandson set up. That his grandfather used to correct the galleys balpeh. That's why you have in the Vilna Shas some mistakes that don't appear in any other edition of the Talmud, and the mistakes are all litvish mistakes. A shin instead of a samach, or a samach instead of a shin. Everything else is almost correct. Here and there is a mistake. Litvish mistakes. So Rabbi Tzal of Vilna visited Trieste, and he wrote the first sefer that he wrote. He thought he was going to write more. It turned out that was the one and only sefer that he wrote. It was called Reishis Bikurim. He thought this was going to be the Haskalah. So in that sefer he writes, he visited Trieste, and they said, when he came to shul, he was a kohen, and they said, they're going to mechabed him, he should duchen. So what do you mean mechabed me? All the kohenim duchen. They said, no, their minig amakim is that only one kohen says the bracha, and one kohen says the duchening. All the others just stand there, and they say nothing, and they're all yaitze with shemei kohenim. So he said, he never heard of such a strange thing. And then after he thought about it, he found that he thinks it's a Mishnah Megillah, a beferish Mishnah Megillah. Mishnah Megillah says that in the days of the Tanoim, people did not like getting mafter. The gabbai would stick you with mafter, and today people fight to get mafter. People will pay special money to the shul in order to get mafter. In the days of the Tanoim,
Zvi was also mafter at that time. The seventh aliyah was mafter.
The Gemara has a machlekes where the mafter is oila leminyan kruim, and that mafter is not oila. Machlokes and Rishonim had a pascha whether mafter counts as one of the seven aliyahs or not. Yeah, so the Mishnah says that bizman atanoim the people didn't like to get mafter, and if the gabbai would stick somebody with mafter, he had to give him some booby prize. He had to give him something as a reward that he would accept, that he should soften the blow, that he should agree to accept the busha, the bizayon of taking mafter. So the kibud used to be, the award used to be that whoever gets mafter, we let him duchen. What do you mean we let him duchen? If he's a kohen, he duchens. Not a kohen, he doesn't duchen. What do you mean let him duchen? So nobody explains what it means. The Gemara doesn't explain, and the Rishonim, no one explains what it means. So this Rabbi Tzal Vilna writes in his sefer, and the Reishis Bikurim, when he came there to Trieste, that's the first time he understood what the Mishnah is talking about. Means if the one who got stuck with mafter is a kohen, so you mechaben him, he should say the duchening, and the other should just be yotze with shemei kohen. So he writes that it's a wonderful practice, and now he owes pshat, and that's what it says in the Mishnah. That was the practice in the days of the Tanoim. And the Beis Halevi in his sefer on Chumash does want to be mevaze Rabbi Tzal of Vilna. So he writes a new sefer just came out, and it says in the sefer he does want to say who wrote the sefer because he's going to disagree. So he disagrees, and he holds that Shemei Kohenah doesn't work by Duchani. And then Tziv, who was the Korosh Yeshiva in Valozhin, the same time as the Beis Halevi, didn't want to be Mevaza the Beis Halevi by name. So he says, a new sefer just came out, he means the Beis Halevi, and it says there that you don't say Shemei Kohenah, and he gives the whole reason why you don't say Shemei Kohenah. And he says, with all due respect, it's against enough in a Mishnah. And he quotes a Mishnah that to disagree with the Beis Halevi. So that's Taka Machlekes, whether Shemei Kohenah applies to Duchening or not. But the Yerushalmi has only three exceptions to the rule. Yerushalmi says Kriya Shema and Tfilo Shema Esrei and Brachas before and after eating. It's interesting, they quote from the Vilna Gaon, but if you look, the Ritva has this diuk that in Masachas Megillah, the Lashon in the Mishnah is Hakoris HaMegillah Oimid V'Yoshev. Hakoris, singular. Why doesn't it say Korimis HaMegillah Omdim V'Yoshvim? So the Ritva is Medayek, and they quote the Vilna Gaon didn't have a Ritva, so he said this deal on his own, because the practice is you have one Balkore who reads the Megillah for everybody in Shul, so it says Hakori in the singular, as opposed to the Mishnah in Brachas where it says Beimus HaKorin is Hashma Bo'aravin. What does it say, Korin? You should say Meimus HaKore. The Chazan says Kriya Shma, and he's Moitzi everybody. So you see from the Mishnayos that by Kriya Shma it's written in the plural, and by Megillah it's written in the singular. So you see from the Mishnah is that you don't say Shemei Kaina by Kriya Shma, and you do say Shemei Kaina by Mikra Megillah. So that's what the Rishami says. With that, the Diuk from the Mishnah. Rishami says Kriya Shma is one exception to the rule. We don't allow Shemei Kaina because the purpose of Kriya Shma is supposed to be Kabbalah Samachu Shamaim. So that's not right that the person should be lazy. He should rely on someone else. Say the Kriya Shma yourself. You shouldn't allow Shemei Kaina. Second exception to the rule is tefillah. Person has a chayla b'soch beis, so the person needs a parnasa, person needs a shidduch, whatever the person needs. So he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care. So that's not right that he's going to rely on someone else. Someone else is going to daven and he'll be yotze with Shemei Kaina. If you have this personal need, so you should ask the Rabbanu Shalom in person. Don't rely on the other one and just be yotze with Shemei Kaina. And the third exception to the rule is with respect to eating food, that the bracha before and after eating bread, by pas v'yayin, it's like that. By eating bread and drinking wine, so that I cannot say a bracha. I cannot say a bracha. Two people are eating a sandwich. So one will say hamoitzi, and the other one will yotze v'shemeh kaina. So we don't permit that. We don't allow shemeh kaina. If you're eating the food yourself, you didn't ask the other one to eat the sandwich for you. You're eating the food yourself, so learn how to say the bracha yourself. And after you finish eating, you're going to rely on him to say the Birchas HaMazon, but you didn't rely on him to eat the sandwich. So the Derech Eretz dictates you should say the bracha before and after yourself. Just like you're eating yourself, you say the bracha yourself. Oh, so the Mishnah says the exception to the rule is if they're all eating behaseda, if everybody's leaning around the same table. Tosfos says Bizban HaZeh, nobody does a seba, only a Pesach night. So Tosfos has the statement, Yeshiva didan keheseba ditu. If everybody sits around the table, you see by let's say by Tkiya Shofar, everybody's standing. There's no Haseba. The people are not sitting around the table. So when you say Hamoitzi, let's say on Friday night, on Yontif, Shabbos and Yontif, one person says Hamoitzi, it's not right that people stand. The one who's going to say Hamoitzi has to wait till everybody's sitting around the table, and then he says Hamoitzi. If he says Hamoitzi and they're not sitting, so the Mishnah says they're not yotze. You can't have one person say hamotzi for the others unless hasebu, or unless bizman hazeh yeshiva didan, unless they're sitting around the same table. And that Mishnah that distinguishes the Mishnah in Brachas, Daf Mem Gimel, I think, Mishnah distinguishes between hasebu and lo hasebu applies both to hamotzi and to benchi mezuman afterwards. That's this long Tosfos on Kuvav and Mebeis. So Tosfos, till he finally quotes all the Gemaras, that's what it says in the Gemara. The Mishnah goes both, the original Mishnah goes on saying the bracha before Hamoitzi and before wine. I can only say Bar Piagofen to be Moitzi other people if we're all sitting around the table. If you don't have a say, but we're not sitting around the same table, I cannot say Bar Piagofen to be Moitzi the other people. And the same thing with respect to Bench and Mezumen. So what kind of avart is that? But the Rishami says you don't allow Shemer Kohene by Hamoitzi and you don't allow Shemer Kohene by Birchas Hamazon. So we explained last week, this is not based on Shemei Kohene. Shemei Kohene means that if one person says Kiddush and 20 other people are listening, as if all 21 said Kiddush. Shemei Kohene, the one who pays attention, is considered as if he answered Amen, Kohene, and called Hoine Amen, Kilo Hoitzi Bracha Mepiv Dami. Whoever answers Amen is considered as if he said the Bracha. So by Bench and Mezumen, it's not that it's considered as if all the 10 people or all the 3 people benched. No. One person says the benching on behalf of the whole chabura. So in order to, or one person says hamotzi on behalf of the entire chabura. So they have to be labeled as a chabura. So they're only considered a chabura if they're eating beheseba. If they're not eating beheseba, it's not considered a chabura. It's not that when you bench mezumen, we allow shemer koina. When you bench mezumen, it's not based on shemer koina at all. We explained last week, the Mishnah Berurah has like that. So the Gemara says...
So Kohanim would be considered a chabura?
What do you mean, Kohanim?
One Kohen makes the bracha for everybody. It's like a chabura that's nimra.
No, no. So by duchening, you don't. By duchening, should either you do say shemei kainah or you don't. The Beis Halevi says a different reason why you don't say shemei kainah. A different reason why. He says shemei kainah, but I'm not saying it at all. So you don't hear what I'm saying. So the Beis Halevi says that duchening, you have to say it out loud. You have to say b'kol rum that everybody should hear. So shemei kainah, you don't hear anything from me. So that's a lack of kol rum. If the kohanim are going to duchen, they're going to whisper, and the tzibur is not going to hear the duchening, so they're not yotze. So the one who wants to be yotze with shemei kainah, it lacks b'kol rum. That's the argument of the Beis Halevi. So it's not that duchening is an exception to the rule. Duchening, you can't apply shemei kainah because shemei kainah is never considered kol rum. It's a different word, what he says.
Not in tefillah. They tell a story. People will come to Rav Moshe Feinstein to be mispalo for chole. Same thing. How could he be mispalo for your chole? The answer that they gave is that he felt when he was mispalo, he felt the pain as if it was his chole, his mishpacha.
Yeah, the Gemara says whoever has a chayla b'sach beishal, yelech etzel chacham. You should go to a talmid chacham. The tefillah of a talmid chacham will be more accepted than the tefillah of a plain person. And the Gemara says whenever you mispalel for a chayla, you should feel sick over him yourself. You should feel bad about it. If the person feels bad, so he's really davening for himself. I shouldn't feel bad. I feel bad because the other person is sick. Yeah. So here the Gemara gives an exception to the rule. If you have echad sofer, the bottom of kuvav and aleph. If two people have to bench, so there is no mezumin, so we don't allow shemei kainah by benching. So if two people have to bench, each one has to say benching on his own. But one of them knows how to bench, one of them does not. One is a sofer, knowledgeable. One is a boor, an ignoramus. He doesn't know how to bench. And then the Gemara says, sofer mevaruch ubil yotze bebochosoi. Then we do allow shemei kainah. So how you talking? He just said you don't allow shemei kainah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bir Agra on the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon explains that whole Yerushalmi that we said that there are three exceptions to the rule that you don't permit shemei kainah. That whole thing is only midirabbanan. Min haTorah you allow shemei kainah by kriya shema and by davening. Duchening is a real shaila because there's a lack of kol rum. Duchening is a real shaila whether you say shemei kainah. But these three, kriya shema and shemana esrei and bichas hamazon and hamoitzi, this is only a chumra midirabbanan. This svara is a midirabbanan. You should be mekabel malchus shemaim. You should strain yourself and learn how to say it on your own. You have tzarachim, so go daven on your own. And you want to eat the food, so learn how to say the bracha on your own. This is only midirabbanan. So if you have a big shas hatchak, echad seifer, echad bur, so then you revert back to the din d'oraisa and you do allow shemei kainah. So that's the shaila that Dr. Goldstein always has. The neighborhood ears, nose, throat doctor. Sometimes a person has trouble with his throat, and he warns them, you're not allowed to talk for a week or two. If you're going to talk, you're going to ruin your voice. You're going to lose your voice. Not allowed to talk at all. Not allowed to daven. Not allowed to say a word. So how does he say kriya shema? How does he yotze shema ne'esrei? So Dr. Goldstein always, I had tzoras. Everybody has tzoras once in a while. So Dr. Goldstein tells the patients that they're not allowed to talk, so they should say kriya shema just by moving their lips and not to say a word, because even if you whisper, you'll ruin your voice. You're not allowed to be motzi akol at all. So this is really a question. The Gemara has the Mishnah and Brachas has a machlokes hatanoim. If a person recites kriya shema v'lo hishmir liyoznov and he didn't say it loud enough that he should hear, person says kiddush, let's say a person is deaf and he says kiddush and he can't hear himself, so one tana is of the opinion it's not worth saying the kiddush. You're not yotze. If you're not mashmir liyoznam, you're not yotze kiddush, you're not yotze benching, you're not yotze hamotze, you're not yotze any brachas unless it's shmir liyoznam. And we don't pass like that. The Gemara says we paskin lechatchila you should be mashmir liyoznav. Many Rishonim hold that's a lechatchila deraisin. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Ravid. Lechatchila deraisin, when you say kriya shma, kiddush, you should always be mashmir liyoznav. And b'riyavid we paskin if lo hishmir liyoznav he would be yotze. So the shaila is lo hishmir liyoznav means I said the words but I'm deaf. I said the words but I said them so softly I couldn't hear anything, or it's noisy in the room. I didn't hear anything. Lo hishmir liyoznav. But what if I didn't even? I just moved my lips. That's called amira. Is that called amira? He didn't pronounce any words at all.
Azog, can't daven. He has it in his mind. He doesn't say the words.
Right. The Mishnah says it should be Mahara Baliba. So the Gemara there in Brachas on that Mishnah has a Machlokes Amoraim. What does he accomplish by being Mahara Baliba? So one opinion is, you see from the Mishnah that Hiraki Diva Domi, that you Yotze Kriya Shema just by thinking about the Kriya Shema B'Dishma Nesa. We don't accept that opinion. We pass can hear Lavka Diva Domi. So what's accomplished? At least he doesn't. He's sitting in shul and everybody else is saying Kriya Shema and he's reading a book. So at least he shouldn't look Yotze Defendik. He shouldn't be doing something else other than what everybody is going to carry on a conversation and talk. He's not allowed to talk and learning. The Zav is not allowed to talk and learning. He's allowed to talk about the weather. He's allowed to talk about politics. So everybody's going to be saying Kriya Shema Shema Nesra. He's going to talk about politics. So it doesn't look nice. Shelo Yehu HaKol Asukim B'Kabbalah Samach Shamaim. And the Zav is going to be talking about something else. So we say, let him be Mahara. But he's really not Yetzer the Kriya Shema. That's how we pass him. Here a Lav Kediba Domi, but we don't want him to be different from the rest of the Kohol. So that's a Shaila on the assumption. That's how we pass him. Here Lav Kediba Domi. You have to have Amira, you don't need Mashmil Yoznov. So is that called Amira without Mashmil Yoznov? Is that nothing with nothing? So that was my machlokes with Dr. Goldstein. I thought it's garnish man garnish. I thought you just move the lips. Shema Yisrael Shem, okay. You don't pronounce anything. I thought it's nothing. I thought that's Mamish Hirer, and Hebrew you're not Yotze. And Dr. Goldstein insisted that it's not so. He said that that's called Amira, velo Hishmil Yoznov. They printed in the name of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he agreed with Dr. Goldstein. Shlomo Zalman didn't agree with me. He agreed with Dr. Goldstein. I said, the easiest solution would be, rely on Shemei Koine. This whole deal in the Yerushalmi, that you don't allow Shemei Koine for Kriyashma, you don't allow Shemei Koine for Shmona Esrei, you don't allow Shemei Koine by Hamoitzim, by Brichas Hamazon, this is only mid the Rabbanon. So if it's Bishas HaTchak, you have no Brer Echad Seif of Echad Bur, so the Seifim of Baruch Abu Yatzibi Bachasai. Zain Lachashas Hatcha Godel Mizeh. If you have over here, the person is not allowed to talk, he'll lose his voice, or he'll ruin his voice. So this is a Kefer Lachashas Hatcha. So have someone else stand next to you, or stand next to someone who is davening. Let him say they're all davening out loud, and you'll be Yatzi, which is Shemei Koine. We said last week, the Gemara says you only have Mizuman, you can only be Yatzi someone else by benching if you have a Mizuman. If you have Shnayim, there is no Mezumen. It's not a Rishus. And each one has to bench on his own. So let's say, Eim Zamnim ala Peris. If you ate cake and a Kiddush, everybody had cake, nobody washed. So no one's going to bench. There's not going to be any Mezumen. No one's going to bench. You're just going to say ala Michyo. So since there's no benching, so there's no Mezumen, so you can't have one person say ala Michyo and have everybody else Yotze. So the Taz asks, but we do it all the time. Whenever there's a Kiddush, you have yes one person to say ala Michyo. How can it be mighty the other b'zal ha-michya? There's no mezumen. Eim zamnim ala peris. The only time there's mezumen is if you're going to bench b'chus ha-mazen. So the Taz answers, because we're afraid that a lot of people don't know how to say ala michya by heart. And they're not going to go bother to go get a sitter to see how to say it. So they're going to walk away after the Kiddush. They're not going to say ala michya. So that's like a sofer or a boor. This is a chashas ha-tchak. Rather than have people walk away and not say ala michya at all, so b'shas hatchak, we revert back to the din deraisa that you do allow shemei koine by all brachas, even ala michya.
Those that do know it by heart would not be yotzer.
That's right. That's not right. They shouldn't. Would you say? So usually b'shas hatchak we allow lechatchila what usually is acceptable b'di'evit. So here it says that b'shas hatchak the gemara says sefer a bur sefer mevaruch bur yotzer b'brachasai. So b'shas hatchak we allow it lechatchila. So isn't that an indication? Shas hatchak k'di'evit dami, v'shas hatchak we allow lachatchila, but usually is only acceptable b'di'evit. So if it's mutar lachatchila b'shas hatchak, it means if it's not a shas hatchak b'di'evit, it would be good. So punkt is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch about that. What if the fellow does know ala michya and he didn't bother? He paid attention to the other guy and he says amen at the end, and there was no shas hatchak. So there are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. So the pashtus is, if it's good b'shas hatchak lachatchila, it has to be good b'di'evit shalei b'shas hatchak. And others say no, there are a few rare instances where we say that there's a chumre midirabbanan, even b'di'evit you're not yotze, but if it's a shas hatchak, it's even better than b'di'evit. We allow lachatchila what's even not acceptable b'di'evit in other cases. So that's a machlokes. If you have two people who do know how to bench, in Shulchan Aruch they have this case, two people are riding horseback, And they finished eating, each one had a sandwich, and there's no mezum, and there are only two people. Or even if there'll be three people, they're riding horseback, they're not sitting around the same table. Not sitting around the same table. So they're not supposed to make a mezumin. That's not called shlosh shoch lukachas. So lechatchili, each one should bench on his own. Even if you have three people, each one should bench on his own, and there is no mezumin. What if instead of each one benching on his own, one guy says, he makes up, I'm going to say the bench, and everybody pay attention. And each one knows how to bench. So the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, whether you're yoytze bin yevin. Because minatori why yoytze? The Rabbanan, they threw in a chumah, you shouldn't allow Shemek Koine by benching. But what about Bidi Yevin? How can you say that Shasatraka is more kal than Bidi Yevin? So you have a few cases, a few rare cases in Shulchan Aruch, where we're machma more Bidi Yevin than we are Bishasatrak. That Shasatrak we make her, in other cases not.
Everybody has to be sitting. And what about those that stand by Kiddush? Assuming one person makes the Kiddush.
Oh, so that's what we worked through part of it last week. On Kiddush on Friday night, the Gemara says, if the other person does know how to say Kiddush, I can say for him, because that's a Bichus HaMitzvah, that it is Yotza Moitzi. Not only if I need Kiddush and you need Kiddush, I can say Kiddush and you'll be Yotze, that's called Shamea Koine. I already finished Kiddush. I already said Kiddush. I'm in the middle of the meal. And the guest comes in, does know how to say Kiddush. So you can say Kiddush in English? If he knows how to read English, don't say. No sitter, he does not have to say. He doesn't want to say. Sure. So the din is, I can say Kiddush for the other person. I can even say Bar Piagofen for the other person, even though I'm not drinking the wine at all. If you say Yotza Moitzi on the Bar Piagofen with the Baruch of the Kiddush also. So if you say Yotza Moitzi, even though I'm not drinking at all, so obviously you don't have to be sitting around. The whole idea of sitting around the table, they're all sitting around, they're all eating together, b'chabura. If I'm not drinking any wine now, I already said bar piagofen. You can't say, I'm saying one bar piagofen for the whole chabura, I'm one of the members of the chabura. I'm in the middle of the meal, I already said bar piagofen, I don't need it. So you see from that Gemara that you treat the bar piagofen of the Kiddush like a bichas ha-mitzvah, that you say yotza moitzi on that. So Friday night you don't have to sit. The different minhagim, whether you sit for the Kiddush or not. Maybe Yen Kiddush Ela B'Mak Masudah, more correct is to sit, more correct is to stand, maybe out of respect for the Brocha, Brocha Deraisa. So the different minhagim, whether you sit or you stand, but either way is good. Shabbos Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Kiddush on Shabbos morning, we said last week, that's a machloikas. Can you say Yotza Moitzi? I'm just going to say Bar Piagofim for the others, and I'm not going to drink any wine at all. So do you say Yotza Moitzi on the Bar Piagofim Shabbos morning? It doesn't come in conjunction with any other bracha. The whole Kiddush only consists of the Bar Piagofen. We have a minig. We recite psukim, so that's not Medina de Gemara. That's a later minig. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik didn't have that minig. He didn't say the psukim, he said. The Gemara calls it Kiddush Rabbah. All there is the Bar Piagofen, and there's no need for any psukim. So he followed what it says in the Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, I had two grandfathers. One grandfather, Rav Chaim, he used to always be a stickler to follow the Gemara. The other grandfather used to follow what it says in the Siddur. The other grandfather was also a big Talmid Chacham. So he said his grandfather, Rabbi Pruzhina, Rabbi Feinstein, that was Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's uncle, was Rabbi Soloveitchik's grandfather. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother were first cousins. They were both Feinsteins. So he said his Zeder, Rabbi Feinstein, did say the Psukim. So he asked him as a young child, yes, but the Zeder Rav Chaim said it doesn't say in the Gemara. So he said, you're right, it doesn't say in the Gemara, but in the Siddur it says it. So the minig is that you say the psukim that are printed in the Siddur. Okay. He said his grandfather Rav Chaim never used to fast on a yartzeit, never used to fast the Taneisim, or Betevish, or Betamuz. He hardly fasted any Taneisim. He was concerned everybody's a chayla. And he says he follows the other grandfather. He fasted on a yartzeit, he fasted on all the Taneisim. There's certain things he follows this grandfather, certain things he follows the other grandfather. So he had I get involved in this? I forgot about this. Kiddush on Shabbos morning, so Rav Chaim didn't say the psukim. Even if he said that's only a minig. So really the Bar Piagofen stems alone. It's only Bar Piagofen. So that's a machleika, as we mentioned last week. The Ritva holds that Bar Piagofen Shabbos morning, I cannot say Kiddush for someone else unless I'm drinking the wine. Unless I need the Bar Piagofen in order to drink the wine myself. But if I'm not drinking the wine, then not. So Shabbos morning, the Ramah Paskin is not so. The Ramah says, I can say Bar Piagofen for someone else, even though I'm not drinking at all. So if you all like the Ritva, that you can only say Kiddush on Shabbos morning, if you're drinking and the other guy's drinking and you both need Bar Piagofen, then you should really sit down for Kiddush on Shabbos morning. If you don't sit down, how can you be Mitzi the other guy? You need Haseba. If you all like the Ramah says we allow Yotza Mitzi, I can say the Bracha even though I can say Bar Piagofen, even though I'm not drinking at all. So it's not going to help to sit down. The whole idea of everybody sitting down means we're all eating together. B'chabura, and the Chabura offers one Bracha. But if I'm not drinking at all, I'm just saying Bar Piagofen for you, so the whole idea of Chabura doesn't apply. Havdalah is a question. Havdalah is a question. The Tosfos in Bracha says that in order to be Moitza somebody else with Havdalah, they all have to be sitting. So why do they all have to be sitting? Why can't you be Moitza Havdalah with Shemei Kohenah? Why does everybody have to sit? So the Mefarshim on the Tosfos explain. Tosfos had a minig, we said, I think, last week. Tosfos' minig was, we have a minig by Kiddush, everybody has a sip of wine. Where does that minig come from? So some Rishonim say, whoever doesn't drink the wine is not Yotze. We don't really paskan like that, but the Sefer HaMichtam writes like that. He quotes in the Gemara has a discussion, Machlokes Rav Shmuel in the last parak of Pesachim, do you need Kiddush b'makom suda? Or is it not necessary? So let's say they said Kiddush and Shul, and everybody said Amen. So was everybody Yotze Kiddush when you go home? There's no need to repeat Kiddush on Friday night. Or they say no. So we paskin ain't Kiddush ela b'makom suda. Even if you heard Kiddush and Shul, you have to repeat the Kiddush at home. You're not Yotze the Kiddush unless you hear b'makom suda. And the other Amora, the other opinion in the Gemara is no, you can be Yotze Kiddush ela b'makom suda. So the Gemara has an expression, Osam b'nei Adam, those people who heard the Kiddush in Shul, were they Yotze or not? So what do you mean, Osam b'nei Adam? Everybody went to Shul, heard the Kiddush in Shul. Sounds as if the discussion whether the Yotze, the Kiddush in Shul, only applies to some of the people in Shul. But whoever was in Shul was Yotze, the Kiddush in Shul. So nobody who went to Shul should have to say Kiddush when they get home. So the Sefer HaMichtam writes in the name of his father, that it means those people who sipped some of the wine. Whoever didn't take a sip of wine on Friday night, for sure is not Yotze the Kiddush. So they used to have a practice, they said Kiddush and Shul, and a lot of people took some wine. So that's the machlokes, those people who took a sip of wine and Shul, are the Yotze with the Kiddush. Or they say, no, they're not Yotze because they ain't Kiddush Elav HaMakom Suda. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin like the Rashbam and Tosfos, that you don't have to drink the wine, you're Yotze the Kiddush without drinking the wine. But our minig is that we give everybody a little bit of a sip of wine. First of all, to satisfy that opinion of the Sefer HaMichtam, that he says whoever doesn't take a sip of wine is not Yotze. And secondly, it's a bracha lakos. So it's an inyan, it's a chashivas. Let's say when you bench bichas hamazon alakos, or you have a sheva brachas or whatever. So mikra din, if one person drinks the wine, is good enough. And the minig is that everyone likes to take a little sip from a kosher bracha. Fine. So that's on Friday night. When it comes to Havdalah Metzoi Shabbos, we don't have the minig that everybody takes a sip of wine. The one who said Havdalah drinks the wine, and that's it. And he says a bracha achrayna. In the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the minig was that everybody used to take a sip of wine. So that's what Tosfos says. The other people around the Yotze, the Bar Pri HaGofen, the Havdalah the Yotze without Haseba, the Bar Mirah Hoesh the Yotze without Haseba, the Bar Minim Psalmin the Rosh Yotze without Haseba. That's part of this long Tosfos that goes from Amud Aleph to Amud Beis on Kuvav. So Tosfos says that's for sure. The Havdalah with the Bari Me'ari Ho'eshu, with the Bari Mini Besamim, that he yotze even without Haseba. So Tosfos in Brachas holds that the Bari Priagofen, the Minig was everybody took a sip of the wine, so they're only yotze with my Bari Priagofen if we have Haseba. So the Chazon Ish asks on Tosfos, what's up is? But on Friday night when you say Kiddush, the din is Yotze Moitzi, I can say Kiddush for everybody else, even though I'm not drinking any wine. I can be Moitzi them with the Bar Piagofen. So why is Havdalah different? So the Chazon Ish says he doesn't understand Tosfos. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that Tosfos obviously distinguishes between Kiddush and Havdalah. Tosfos also the Bar Piagofen is an integral part of the Kiddush. So that's why you can be Moitzi the other one, not only with the Kiddush, with the Bar Piagofen also, even though you're not drinking at all. But the Bar Piagofen is not really part of the Havdalah. Bar Piagofen is a Bichas Hanenin. Whoever wants to drink has to say a bracha Bar Piagofen. The Magen Avraham quotes a tshuva from Rashi, from the Sefer Lamed Pei. Lamed Pei is Likutei Pardes. So Rashi Tevis is the Sefer Pardes, written by one of the Talmidim of Rashi, and has a lot of psokim, has a lot of tshuvas of Rashi. So the Magen Avraham didn't have a pardes. He had a sefer that's a kitzer of the pardes, likute pardes, that's lamed pei. So Magen Avraham quotes this. Someone was saying Havdalah, and one of the members of the household came in the middle of Havdalah. He missed the first bracha bar pi agafen, but it was there before the last bracha hamavdol. So they asked Rashi whether yotze Havdalah or not. So Rashi said, you yotze Havdalah, bar pi agafen is not part of the Havdalah. Bar pi agafen is only if you want to drink wine. If you're not interested in drinking wine, it's okay. So the shaila was, would Rashi say this ain't by Kiddush or not? The Maisa Shaya was with Havdalah. The yes, shaila of Rashi. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that his grandfather Rav Chaim held that there should be a distinction between Kiddush and Havdalah. That Rashi would only say it by Havdalah. That Bar Pi Agafen is not part of the Havdalah. Bar Pi Agafen is only a Birchas Hanenin. But the Bar Pi Agafen is probably part of the Kiddush.
Isn't the same like you may see like Shammai, we say the Bar Pi Agafen in Kiddush, we still said we say it like we do, and Shammai said at the very end it was to be a mafsik because otherwise.
Beishamai hold, you say the bracha, and they don't say because of hepsik. That's all the Rishonim ask. Why doesn't Beishamai, why doesn't everybody say you should say Bar Pi Agafen in the end because of hepsik? How can they say Bar Pi Agafen and then
the
say...
Second, that's part of
the Kiddush. Oh, so that's... A, no, so some Rishonim derive from this. There's a Shalik Mar says, you're not allowed to talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, because you want the bracha and the Shal Yad to relate to the Shal Rosh as well. And if soch ben tefila le tefila, if you talk in between shal yad and shal rosh, you have to repeat the bracha that you see. You have to say an extra bracha because you are mafsik. And if you wouldn't have talked, then the bracha and the shal yad would have gone on the shal rosh. So the rishonim have a machlokes. What if you're in between shal yad and shal rosh, and some are saying kaddish kedusha baruch hu? Is that a hefsik if you answer? So some rishonim, a group of rishonim, say no, that's not a hefsik for harayah. We do it all the time. You say kiddush. You say Bar Pi Agafen, then you mapsik a lot of things until you drink it. What are you saying? Bar Mi Arihashim, Bar Mi Nipsamim, and you're saying, Amav de Mikadish Lachol. The answer is, Abracha is Nishkin Hepsik. So the answer, Kadish Kedusha Bracha, that's not a Hepsik. So we don't pass like that. That's why a lot of people, when you're not allowed to talk, so they'll talk in Hebrew.
Yes.
Where does that come from? Because that's a mitzvah. To talk Lashna Kadish, that's a mitzvah. So a mitzvah is not a Hepsik. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin a mitzvah is a hefsek.
Is it a birch sanen or a birch sa mitzvah? For the birch sa mitzvah, you can't interrupt. Birch sanen, you can't interrupt.
No, that's not the answer. The Rosh says the answer is kach tiknu chachamim. Hey mama, hey mama. The chachamim were the ones who made a takana that you have to say bar pi agafen when you drink wine. So the chachamim said, and the chachamim are the ones who said you shouldn't be mafsik in between hamotzi a bar pi agafen and the eating or the drinking of the food. And the same chachamim were the ones who said you should say Havdalah, alakos, say Kiddush alakos, and you say other brachas in between the bar pi agafen, in the eating or the drinking, and that's not called the hefsek. Kak tichna chachamim. But the answer, Kaddish Kedusha Bocha, in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, that is a hefsek. That's what the Rosh explains. Over here it's kak tichna chachamim. Over there it's lo kain tichna chachamim. Yeah.
How would people learn the Gemara in brachas where they were mechabed, I forget who, to make the bracha, to make Kiddush in Shabbos morning. If they were mechabed him, so obviously he was being yotzei the whole olam.
They were all going to drink the wine.
So then why was he mesupik what bracha to say? It was only to drink the wine. So he'd make a bar pi agafen, that's...
No, he knew that you say bar pi agafen. He thought that they probably had a minute. They asked to say Kiddush Araba, the big Kiddush. He didn't know what they're talking about. Where he came from, like by us, the Kiddush only consists of Bar Pi Agafen. So he didn't know what other bracha that they wanted to say. So he said, I'll play it by ear. So first he'll say Bar Pi Agafen, and then he'll pause a little bit, and then they'll help him out. If he's supposed to say another bracha, he's prepared to say the other bracha. So then he saw that an old man started to drink the wine. They all had a cup of wine in front of them. So an old man started to sip the wine. So he realized that's the whole Kiddush. Kiddush is only the Bar Pi Agafen, like he did where he came from. Why do you call it Kiddush Rabba? So the Rashbam says, Aloshen Sagi Nohar. The big Kiddush means the little Kiddush, that's all. But the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara was, he thought mistakenly that their Minig HaMakom was that they say some additional bracha, which he never heard of, but he was prepared to say that bracha. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. If you have the Minig, your practices, you never say Baruch Hashem Li'olam. But you're davening for an Amen initial, but they do say Baruch Hashem Li'olam. So if that's a minig amokim, you got to say Baruch Hashem li'olam. You see from that Gemara like that, he, huh? Okay, but even though he was the Baal Tefillah, no, he says if you're the Baal Tefillah, so the Baal Tefillah is expected to say everything, even though his sheet is that you don't say Baruch Hashem li'olam. But if that's the minig amokim, you got to say kifi minig amokim.
If
he's saying Chazaras Hashatz, let's say I daven Ashkenaz and they ask me to be the Baal Tefillah in a shul with the daven Nusach Tzvat. So he's supposed to daven according to the Nusach of the shul, not according to your own Nusach. Rav Soloveitchik told him, I said, that when he was an Avelis for his father, so he went to visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And then after they finished the conversation, so then they were going to daven mincha. So he said he's an abeilus, so he'd like to daven for an omid. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, okay, but here, don't forget, here we daven nusach svar, nusach hari. We don't daven nusach ashkenaz, so you have to daven nusach hari. So he said, yeah, the Pas HaShulchan says like that. There's a sefer Pas HaShulchan written by a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So he quotes from the Vilna Gaon that even if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, Pas HaShulchan was written for the Talmid HaGrot who moved to Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, they were always Svardish Kehillas. In the 1500s, they were always Svardish. When the Hasidim and the Misnagdim moved in the early 1800s, that was a Chiddush that a couple of Ashkenazim moved to Eretz Yisrael. But the overwhelming majority of all the Kehillas were all Svardish. So the Pas HaShulchan is a safer for the Talmid HaGrot to know Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. Hilchas Shmita and Hilchas Trumas and Maaseh. So the Pas HaShulchan from the tradition of the Vilna Gaon says like that. Rav Soloveitchik said the Vilna Gaon says like that, that if I'm davening for an omid by Svardim, I have to daven Nusach Svard. Not just that I'm going to follow because you said so. The Vilna Gaon said so also. Yeah, that's what he said.
The father had the Havdolah in his shoe. Then he has to come. He comes home. He has to say Havdalah to the wife and the children. He has to repeat again the same Havdalah.
So most people have in mind when they listen to Havdalah and Shul Kavanah Shalolotzis. They have in mind not to be Yotzei because they want to say Havdalah at home. What if the father was in Shul? He had in mind that he is Yotzei. So if the only one at home who needs Havdalah is his wife, that's a problem. Because some of the Rishonim, half of the Rishonim hold that women are not Mechuyev in Abdullah, for whatever reason. So if a woman is not Mechuyev in Abdullah, it's not right that a man should say Abdullah. A man who was Yotzei ready should say Abdullah for a woman who wasn't Yotzei yet. Maybe she's not Mechuyev at all. But if he has children who are boys, even before Bar Mitzvah, Mitam Chinuch is Mechuyev to say Abdullah for them. So if he only has daughters and he has a wife, then he better have in mind in shul not to be Yotzei. And if he have in mind to be Yotzei, he should get someone else to say Havdalah at home who for sure wasn't Yotzei. But if he has children who are boys, so then he's mukhayif to say Havdalah for the boys.
Daughters and girls.
Okay. So then it's not a problem. Then it's not a problem.
Might say for herself.
Strictly speaking, the wife should be able to say Havdalah on her own. So the Shulchan Aruch has a minig that the women, since it's a machlekes where the women are mechuyev and Havdalah, so the minig is that the women don't recite Havdalah. So the shaila is, that's niche, if you hold like the Sfardim, that a woman who volunteers to shake a lulav shouldn't say a bracha, because it's a bracha shein etzvichi. She didn't really have to shake the lulav, she didn't have to hear the tkiyah shofar, so she shouldn't really say a bracha. But the Ashkenazim have to follow the Balei Atos. We have the practice that the women who shake a lulav do say a bracha, and they even say Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, which is more questionable. And the women do say when they hear Tkir Shofar and they miss the bracha, they say a bracha l'shma kol shofar, even though for sure they're potter from shofar. So what's so terrible if they'll say Havdalah on their own, even if they're not mechuyev in Havdalah? It's less of a problem. They don't say Kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. So what's so bad about saying Havdalah? So the Magen Avraham quotes, no, even according to the Ashkenazim who permit the women to volunteer brachas when they're not mechuyev to, we say it's not a bracha levatola, it's not a bracha shein etzvicha, Havdalah they shouldn't say. So he gives up a difficult explanation. He says the only time we allow the women to volunteer a bracha is If they're shaking a lulav, they're doing a ma'isa mitzvah, so you say a bracha in conjunction with the lulav. But here, they're volunteering, the whole thing they're volunteering is the bracha. So what? So what's the difference? So you have to understand, the Magen Avraham quotes that from the Bach. To volunteer a bracha, we don't allow. That's bracha shen tzricha. But once they're shaking a lulav, that's not a problem. Once they're shaking a lulav, so we allow them to say the bracha in conjunction with the shaking of the lulav. So that's why the minig was for many years that the women don't recite Havdalah on their own. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer gave a different explanation why women shouldn't volunteer to say Havdalah. It's along the lines of what you said before, Rabbi Nordlich said. For a man, when you say Bar Piagof and then you say Bar Minim Psalm, they say Bar Mi'aresh, then you say Havdalah, how come it's not a Hefsik? He says Bar Piagof and doesn't drink right away. The answer is Kach Tikno Chachamim. But if women are potter from Havdalah, so lo dikno chachamim garnished. Chacham didn't make any takana. So you want to volunteer. So you're making a hefsek between the Bar Piagofen. Okay. So you explain that. Rabbi says, I'm going to explain. That's why the minig is that the women don't drink from Havdalah wine. So some made up a whole story. The women don't drink Havdalah, they're going to grow a beard. So Rabbi Zalman said, that's not the reason why. It has nothing to do with growing a beard. He said, because they said Amen to Bar Piagofen, and then they said other they're listening to other brachas in between. So it could be that it's a hepsik. That's why the women shouldn't drink. The men can drink, because the Rosh said, Kach Tikna Chachamim. But if a woman is not Mechuyev, then it's a Shaila of hepsik.
What about that's the rabbis do with the women who are up on Gushes, that they're
alone, they don't have no men in the family? So they should listen by the next door neighbor. I have almanas in my building, so you all come down to hear Havdalah. Kiddush, they can say on their own, that's not a shot. And Havdalah, usually the almanas go to someone else to hear Havdalah.
The Bor Piagofen is not an integral part of Havdalah, and let's assume you don't have wine. Can you make the rest of the Havdalah?
No, the Bor Piagofen can be recited without the Havdalah. When you recite it over a cup of wine, you enhance the chashivas of the Bar Mi'aresh. But the Gemara says you can say it separate. Bar Mi'aresh you can say without the cup of wine also. When you say it over a cup of wine, you enhance the chashivas of that bracha. The Havdalah, we already said, when we daven, we said Atachan Antono. So we really say Havdalah b'tfilo. But the Gemara says, Kach tikna chachamim, hamavda b'tfilo, tzorch shi'avda lalakos. At one time in history, the takana was, you only have to say Havdalah b'tfila. You don't have to say Havdalah l'kos. Then they change it. You only have to say Havdalah l'kos. You don't have to say Havdalah b'tfila. And then the later generation, they kept on changing back and forth. In later generation, they said, you should be Mavda b'tfila and Mavdalah l'kos and say Havdalah twice. So if you don't have any wine, so the din is you can say over Chamar Medina. If you don't have any wine, you don't have Chamar Medina, so you don't say Havdalah l'kos because you already said Havdalah b'tfila. You were Yotze with Atachan Antona.
The
Drush is come to hear elsewhere. But I have a little
marshal.
Tisha B'Av
comes out on Sunday.
Yeah. The woman
has to eat. So it's not.
We have
to wait till
Tisha
B'Av the Avdol.
Yeah, so let us say
Ron Avdol.
Shasa
Trak,
bottom line.
Can the man make Avdol and she should drink it?
No. She should say Ron Avdol. No. There's a machlokes where the Avdol is the Raisa the Rabbanan. So bottom line, we paskan Havdalah is their Isa. So this whole pilpul where the women are Mukhayev and Havdalah, the Magen Mishnah says part of it, not 100%, a good part of the pilpul depends whether Havdalah is their Isa or the Rabban. If Havdalah is their Isa, from the same pasuk as Kiddush, Zochas Yamashavis Lakacha Biknisos Abitziyosai, so Zoch Vishama Bidibarecha Nemru is considered like a Hekesh, Kol Sheyesh Demishama Yesh Demizocha. So the women are obligated not to do malacha because that's a loy sese, even though it's mangram. So the women are mechayev in kiddush Havdalah. So bottom line, we paskin, Rabbi Kevega points out. Bottom line, we paskin Havdalah is their isa. Bottom line, women are mechayev in Havdalah. Bottom line, the woman can say Havdalah to be moitzi a man. But we're machmet to be choshish for the other shitas, out of respect for the other shitas of Rishonim. There are others who hold that Havdalah is their abonim. Tosfos in a lot of places suggest Havdalah is their abonim. And Havdalah is the Rabbanon, then Svara to say that women are potter from Havdalah. So that's why when Machmel Chatchil, a woman should never say Aron Havdalah, she should always hear from a man.
Some the same so, marker for the Chiyah of Kiddush should be same Chiyah for Havdalah.
Right. Some Rishonim hold that Havdalah is the Raisa, but it's based on a different pasuk. Zohar only goes on Kiddush, and Havdalah is based on a pasuk. V'hivdaltim ben HaKodesh v'ein HaChol. So if it's two different psukim, then you can say Havdalah is Zman Groma, and only Kiddush is Zocher V'Shamer B'Dibur Achanemer. But according, the Rambam says no. Rambam says that Zocher goes both on Kiddush and Havdalah. They're both the Araisa based on the same Pasuk, and Zocher V'Shamer says that the women are Mechuyiv in both. So bottom line, that's how we really paskin, that Havdalah is the Araisa. Some say the Netziv wants to say like that, that even if Havdalah on Shabbos is the Araisa, Havdalah on Yontif is only the Rabban. That's very questionable, whether that's so or not.
Which is better, that she should say herself or here on the phone?
Here on the phone is a big shaila whether that's called Shemei Kaina, because the sound waves are converted into electrical current, and then the electrical current is converted back into sound waves. So that's a shaila if that's called Shemei Kaina. If you speak on a loudspeaker, also the same thing. If someone hears Kiddush, well, Kiddush we usually don't hear over a loudspeaker. Someone hears Avdalah over a loudspeaker. You hear Mikra Megillah over a loudspeaker. So that's a big question, whether you can say Shemei Kohenah or not. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thought that is utterly nothing to discuss. Absolutely not. Anyone who understands what electricity is all about, he said, not Shaykh. And the Chazon Ish thought that maybe, yeah. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Soloveitchik, they thought Shaila. Shaila could be. Rav Moshe writes, more correct is you shouldn't allow Mikra Megillah over a loudspeaker, but if the meaning of the Mokim is to have a loudspeaker for the Mikra Megillah, don't make a machloikas, because it's only the Rabbanan. Mikra Megillah is only the Rabbanan, and there is room to argue the point and say that you are Yotzei by a loudspeaker. So he says that maybe Shlomo Zalman thought that definitely not. So I would think it's better the woman should say her own Avdalah rather than listen over the telephone. Why the Chazan Kusevitzky always used to say, wherever he was, traveling around the world, he would always call up his mother and say, Havdalah, that she should hear him say Havdalah. So he didn't ask us. He didn't ask. Huh? Could be. Could be. She heard that.
Could be. Could
be. Here, in this big Taisus discusses, this big Taisus on Kuvav HaMabes, Taisus discusses, how come this for sure is good? How come Bari Miyar Hesh and Bari Minim Psamim? You don't have to be sitting around the same table. Taisus in Bracha says, if they all want to drink from the Havdalah wine, then they all have to be sitting around the same table. If they're not drinking Havdalah wine, you say the Havdalah you don't have to have a say before. Bari Miyar Hesh, you don't need a Seba. Bari Minim Psamim, you don't need a Seba. Only the Bari Piyagofen. If everybody wants to drink the wine, then Tosfos holds that you need a seba, and the Chazon Ish disagrees even on that. He doesn't see why it's a difference between Kiddush and Havdalah. In Kiddush, I can say for you, even if I'm not drinking at all. So he thought Havdalah is the same. Why should you distinguish between Kiddush and Havdalah? So Tosfos thinks the Bar Piyagofen, you need a seba for Havdalah, but the Bar Miyareish and Bar Mipsam, you don't need a seba. Why not? That's what Tosfos says. Why not? So Tosfos gives a suggestion. We don't follow this Tosfos. Taisa says, because the Bari Minim Psamim, they all smell Bevasachas, the same Psamim. We don't all do like that. A lot of times you distribute Psamim, everybody has their own box of Psamim. The one who says Abdullah says Bari Minim Psamim, and everybody else is Yotzei with his Bari Minim Psamim. Many people have a practice, they say their own Bari Minim Psamim. They're not Marviach anything by that, they're losing out by that, because the Gemara says, strictly speaking, you can say Bari Minim Psamim, Shalom. Shaloi b'shas Havdalah, but if you say it ala kos, then you enhance the chashivas of the bracha, like the Gemara says Shachyano on Yontif. Strictly speaking, when you say Shachyano on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos and Rosh Hashanah, I'm Rafi LeBashuk, you can say Shachyano even when you're walking in the street. It's a Gemara, but we enhance the chashivas of the bracha Shachyano by saving it till the end of the Kiddush. So we say the Shachyano also ala kos. So the same is true regarding the Bar Mi'ar Hesh and Bar Minim Samim. If the one who says Havdalah says it, so he's giving added chashivas to these two brachas of Psamim and Eish, then he says them alakos. If everybody's going to say their own Bari Miyar Hesh, Bari Minim Psamim, so they're losing out on that. So they're Yotze with the Bari Minim Psamim, the Yotze with the Bari Miyar Hesh, but it's not going to be alakos. They're not having that added chashivas to it. So more correct is we should listen to the one who's saying the bracha, the whole Havdalah, he's saying alakos. So Tosfos says to Shaila, how come you don't need Haseba? How come by the wine and the bread you need a seba, and by that you don't? So the pashtus is that has seba is only. So Taisus answers that Taisus has a long discussion on it. At one point in the discussion, they say maybe this is the answer, and then they go further and they leave it hanging like that. They don't touch it up. So at one point in this big fat Taisus, they say maybe because everybody's being nenele or aner from the same ner, and everybody's smelling the same samim bevasachas. Yeah, by us a lot of times it's not the case. We're not all using the same sum. Everybody has their own box of sum. The one who says Abdullah says Bari Minim Sam, and everybody's Yotze with Shemea Kaina. The Nair, a lot of times, we all use the same Nair, but the Psamim is not always like that. So the Pashtus, the answer to Tosis Kasha was that this whole din that the Rishalmi said that there are three cases where we don't permit, and it's Muchach and the Bavli Yosef, and the Mishnah is like that. Rishalmi put it together explicitly. But the Bavli has it also like that, that there are three cases where we don't permit Shemea Kaina. One is Kriya Shema, Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim, one is the Shemona Esrei, and one is Brochus in connection with eating food. So that doesn't apply to Bari Miyori Ho'esh. Bari Miyori Ho'esh is not a Bichas HaNenin. Bari Miyori Ho'esh is a Bichas HaShevach. We don't say Bari Miyori Ho'esh every day, every night when we use fire. We only say Amatzoi Shabbos because the tradition has it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Adam HaRishon how to use the power of the fire, the energy from the fire. He taught him the secret of Matzoi Shabbos. So every Matzoi Shabbos, out of gratitude over the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the secret to harness the energy from the heat, from the fire, so we recite Baruch Mi'ari Hesh. So that's a Bichas HaShevach, Bichas HaYidah. Baruch Mi'ari Psamim is also a Shaila. The Tzlach has such a discussion, and later Achreinim pick it up in the Tzlach. The Gemara says, how do you know that you have to say a brach on reach when you smell psalmim that have a pleasant aroma? So the Gemara says, kolan shama tahalol ko haluko. Kolan shama, when you breathe, when you smell something that smells good, you got to say a bracha. So the Tzlach asked the question, why did the Gemara have to come up with a new mocker for a new bracha for a mini psalmim? There's a din you have to say Birchas Hanenin. Whenever you also Lohanis Ben Ola Mazeh B'loi Bracha, and then Ben Ola Mazeh B'loi Bracha Mual. So just like you have to say Bracha on eating and drinking, why shouldn't you have to say Bracha on smelling? So he says, no. He has a famous comment that the Gemara says, Kol Mariv Reach Ei Meh Mishum Me'ila. So he says, Reach, since there's no Me'ila, and then Ben Ola Mazeh B'loi Bracha is Mual, so there's no Me'ila if you smell something from Hegdish and it smells wonderful. So you can't say you have to say a bracha on reach, because if you won't say the bracha, you'll be mild. There's no me'ilah on reach. So that's why they came up with a new mocker, a new bracha, birchas. It's not a birchas hanen. Birchas hanen is only achila shtiyah. Birchas hareach is a birchas hashevach. It's not a birchas hanen. That's the famous tzlach. So that's very problematic, because the Gemara comments on that memra, Reb Shimon Levi has like that. There are three things, but there's no din me'ilah. You're not allowed to get hanor from hegdish. Person gets on off from Hegdish, so he's a violation of Mila, Moel Behegdish. So the Gemara says there are three exceptions to the rule where there's no Mila. One is Kol. Let's say the Levim are using the Klishores, and they're playing such beautiful music, the person is Chalashing. He has such Hanoa, he's Chalashing. So he's getting physical pleasure from the Klishores. So he's Gnanef in the Hegdish. So the Gemara says that's not physical pleasure, that's spiritual. You get on, no, that's not called Mi'ila Behegdish. A Mare, let's say, he looks at the Beis HaMikdash and the building is so beautiful, he's just enthused by looking. Mare. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Mare is also, it's not physical pleasure, that's spiritual pleasure. But the Gemara says, Reach. You smell the Reach, it goes into your nose. What's the difference whether you eat food and it goes down your throat, or you drink something that belongs to Hegdish, or you smell something? So the Gemara says, you're right. Reach. It's not the same as Kol Amara. Kol Amara is no Me'ila Kozein Bo Mamish. Means that it's not a physical pleasure. Reach is Yesh Bo Mamish. The reason why there's no Me'ila by Reach, because we're talking about the Ketoris Lacha Shetala Tim Rosai. So it's already Nasis Mitzvasa. Ein Lucha Dovish and Nasis Mitzvasa Umayel Imbo. But if you smell something of Hegdish that smells, has a very good smell, and you smell it before Nasis Mitzvasa, there will be Me'ila. There will be Me'ila. So what did the Tzlach say over here? The Tzlach says that it can't be that they would be Mesak and Birchus HaReach based on Asa Lehanis Merala Mazeh B'loi Bracha, because Moal, because there's no Milan Reach. It's not true. Then it's not true. If you take Psalm of Hegdish and you smell it, you are Chai Mishum Me'ilah. So that's what the old Taina against the Tzlach. But that's the question over here. It could be that that's the answer over here. It could be that the bracha on besamim and the bracha on bar miyari ho'esh is not a birchas hanenin. That halacha, you can't be moitzi someone else but the birchas hanenin unless you have a seba. That's only on pasan yayin. That's how the Gemara says. It's only on pasan yayin. Let's say we're having an ice cream party, or we're having a beer party, and we're all drinking beer. So the Gemara says, Haseba is irrelevant there, or the medarfnisht, or the sehelfnisht. One opinion of the Gemara is that I can be moitzi you with the shahakal on the beer, on the ice cream, even though we're all standing around. No one's sitting around the table. The other opinion is it doesn't even help. Haseba is only helpful, only useful by pasan yayin, and everything else, there's no concept of Haseba, so you can never be moitzi the other people. If you're having potato chips, or you're having anything other than pasan yayin, you can never be moitzi the other people. And it's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, which Lashon in the Gemara to paskan like. And the two opinions are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. If the group of people are eating anything other than pasan yayin, so everyone agrees that's a Gemara, Haseba is irrelevant. But there's a machlokes, can I be moitzi the others if we're all eating? We're all eating the potato chips. We're all drinking the beer or the ice cream. Can I be moitzi the others even without a seba? Or I cannot be moitzi the others even with a seba? So the pashtus is that birchas bar miyari ho'esh, that's a birchas hashevach. For that you don't need a seba. Birchas hashevach is a din, shemei ha'kaina. That's a regular din of shemei ha'kaina. Yeah, Pashto says you can be mighty someone else. With that, you say Shemei Kaina. And the Pashto in the Gemara is that Birchas Harech also. If he would have accepted what the Tzlach said, that Birchas Harech is not a Birchas Hanen, it would have been Gorgibald, the Gorgishmak. Even if you don't accept the Tzlach, Sof Kol Sof, it's not a Birchas Hanen. It's a different din. The Gemara Sof Kol Sof learned that Birchas Harech from a different marker, from a different person. So to be mighty the others, even if everybody's standing. No, we don't sit when we make Havdalah. There are more quotes that Tosis, you have to sit when you make Havdalah. That Tosis goes when everybody's drinking the wine. Nobody today drinks the wine. So the whole Ramah doesn't apply. The Groh used to sit for Kiddush because everybody used to drink the wine, but he used to stand for Havdalah. Because nobody has that minik today that everybody sips the wine. So if you're not sitting for Havdalah because no one else is going to drink the wine, so there's no need to sit for to be mitzvah the others with the bar min and besamim, with the bar mi'areish, with the havdalah. That's regular shemei kainah.
But by sitting, it's kaveya soup. It makes a chabura.
By passing yai, it makes a chabura.
Even if not popular, as a general rule, if everybody's just standing, how can you use it? It's like everybody's standing all over the place. It's not a unit.
Doesn't have to be a unit. I say shemei kainah. Doesn't have to be a unit. The Chazan says the Birchas HaShachar, and I'm standing and I listen, I'm Yotzeh with Shemei Kaina. You can be Yotzeh Shemei Kaina, you don't need. The Gemara says, Hasebu, sitting around the same table, is only relevant for Pasan Yain. For everything else, it's not relevant. And for the ice cream, everybody's eating ice cream. So one Lashon in the Gemara was, I can be Yotzeh the others without Hasebu. The other Lashon was, no, you can only be Moitzi with Haseba. Haseba is meaningless outside of Pasan Yayin. So you can never be Moitzi anybody else with any other Bruch. So that's what we discussed last week. I think it's all the Chazara, no? Yeah. Everything, okay. Yeah.
There are reasons for
Besamim Horesh? Yeah. There's a Machloik, which one you say first? Yeah. Rav Soloveitchik, I remember, said a reason. I guess it says in Rishonim, I don't remember. He said, "Bari minim b'sam yisera," because you lose the neshama yisera. So the second Shabbos is over, you lose the neshama yisera, ready to faint, so you got to say, "Bari minim b'sam." After Shabbos is over already, then you want to harness the energy and start doing malachas. So then you say, "Bari miyari ha'esh." The whole chashiv is Bari miyari ha'esh. The Rabbi Shalom taught Adam Arishan the secret how to harness the energy in order to do malachas. So that, you can't say that after Shabbos is over. You have to wait till Shabbos is over. The second Shabbos is over, right away you're fainting, you lose your neshama, you say, I gotta say bar minim b'sam right away. And then after you come to, after you already smell your b'samim and you're not fainting anymore, then you can begin to use the harnessing of the energy. So he says, logically, that's why you say the bar minim b'sam before the bar miyareish. It's machlekes hatanaim though, which one you say first? I don't know. The Gemara doesn't really explain why. Gemara does not explain why.
Maybe because H is a malacca already, because you have to finish your Shabbos. I can't bring malacca to the Shabbos.
Right, so that's why Eshed comes second.
Yeah.
Right, right. That part we understand. He wants to know how come there's an opinion for Keret. They say Bar Mir Eshed before Bar Mir himself. I don't know. Okay. So, could be. Could be. Okay, so let's see. We left off the last line on Kuvav Amid Aleph. Tana Rabbanim, there's a Braisa. There are different joints in the fingers. Here's one joint. The Mishnah says that there are Ramach Evarim to a male body. There are 248 Evarim. An Eva means Basa Gid Matzamas. So this is one Eva, this is a second Eva, this is a third Eva. Each one is a separate bone. Whenever you have a separate bone, Basa Gid Matzamas, that's counted as an Eva. So the, and there are different joints in the fingers. This is one joint, second joint, and the third joint. The knuckles is the third joint. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabban, until it's yadayim lechulin, when you want to eat bread, you have to wash until it's yadayim, ad haperek, till a joint. Which joint? Doesn't say. Litchuma, if a person, a kohen wants to eat chuma, has to wash ad haperek to the next joint. Kiddush daim raglaim and migdosh, ad haperek. When a kohen wants to be makir karbonis in the base on migdosh, he has to take Maim Kedoshim in a Kli, Lechatchila from the Kiyar, the Ramam says, but he had it from many Kli Shares, and has to pour on his hands and on his feet. So how much of the hands does he have to pour? One joint past Achilas Truma. So which joints are we talking about? So Rashi understands, the Tilis Adayim for bread has to be till the second joint. It doesn't make sense to Rashi, it should be the first joint. That's all. Less than an inch. So he says the second joint. Tilis Adayim for Truma is then till the knuckles. Tilis Adayim and a Tilis, wait a minute. And a Tilis Adayim for Kiddush Adayim Raglaim is what?
Okay. The wrist.
The wrist? Is that what Rashi says? Let's see. Ara perik, Rashi says the top line. Ara perik hasheni till the second joint should be etzba. Should be emtsa etzba is the second joint, the middle of the finger, the kevon. The mishum srach truma bialma. The Gemara said on Amid Aleph that the tillis adayim for bread is a carryover. The Gemara said there are two reasons. So the second reason we don't know what it is. The Tosafot said nikias, hygienic reasons. And the first reason was Mishum Srach Truma, a carryover from the Yodayim Shnias Hain. If you touch the Truma, you'll pasul. So the Kohanim have to wash until it's Yodayim before they touch Truma and before they want to eat any Truma. So since until it's Yodayim for bread is only as Mishum, it's a loit plug, Mishum Srach Truma, so you're not machma as much as by Truma. So Nachum also, what does he say? So until it's Yodayim for bread, you have to wash Lechul until the second joint, to the middle of the finger. Until it's Yadayim L'Truma, you have to wash till the knuckles. L'Truma Ara Perek, Perek HaShlishi Hu Bigav HaYad. That's where the palm of the hand ends, by the knuckles. And Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim Ara Perek. What does Rashi say? Ara Perek Ha'Elyam Mokam Chiba HaYad The Hazroa. The wrist. Okay, the next joint. Good. V'chol Dava, how does the Gemara continue? V'chol Dava Shechoytzeitz B'Tvila V'Guf. Whatever constitutes a chatzitza when a person is tomei, when a woman wants to go to mikveh, so whatever constitutes a chatzitza, beguf, chotzitz min atilus yadayim l'chulin. We carry over all the dinim, even the chumris mid the rabbanon. Min haTorah, the Gemara says, in a few places, that a chatzitza only passels the tefillah in the mikveh if it's roiv rubay hamakbid. If the roiv of the body is very, it's very rare you're ever going to have a chatzitza. The roiv of the body has a chatzitza. Who ever heard a person has ink all over his body? People sometimes have ink on their fingers. A painter has paint on his fingers. I cannot paint on roiv of his body, 51% of the surface of the body. It's hard to imagine such a thing. It's only if it's a rubai umakbid and he's makbid. The Mishnah says that painters are not makbid. They'll go to a wedding with the paint on their fingers. A scribe has ink on his fingers. He'll go to a wedding with the ink on his fingers. That's what he does for a living. So he's not makbid on that. So that wouldn't be chatzitz. But Torah's only chatzitz a rubay umakbid. The rabbanon they were machmir that even rubay she'ena makbid and even miuta makbid is a chatzitz. So the brisa says chaldova shechetz is betfila beguf. whatever is considered a chatzitza, even a chatzitza is mid the rabbanon, even a miut, a makbid or a rov shein a makbid, is chotzitz mid the tilas yadayim lechulin. They carried over all the chatzitzas from there. Toisus frekta kasha, chol dovar chotzitz between the chotzitz mid the tilas yadayim, the small toisus, one after that long one about the havdalah. So Tosfos says, but there's a mission, there's a Tosefta Mikvos that says Fakert. It says, well, Bechulin ain't Chaytzitzim. It says Beferish, Bechulin is not a Chatzitza. So how can the Tosefta contradict this also a Braisa? The Tosefta contradicts this Braisa. What's going on? So Tosfos answers the Tosefta. The Gemara here is talking about Chulin. The fellow wants to eat bread. He wants to eat a sandwich. Say nina tilas adaim to eat the bread. The Tosefta is talking. The fella has a chumra. What could be chulin a chumra? To eat bread is a real din of the tilas adaim. Where do you have a chumra of eating chulin? There used to be kohanim who wanted to practice all the time to eat chulin al taras hatruma. So there were kohanim who would hang around the Beis Hamikdash. They would always every month in Gedonishtik they'd be eating karbonis chatas oshem. So they wanted to practice. Everything should be done with tahara. They would eat chulin al taras hakodesh. So some had, and this is not really a din. This is a question whether the achrayim are not sure. Is this a din midirabbanan or was this a midas chasidus? So the pashtus in the gemara sounds like we learned a lot in Soito about this. A person has a midas chasidus to be medaktik to eat chulin al taras hakodesh, and others have a midas chasidus to eat chulin al taras hatruma. So the Gemara has a machlekes whether it makes sense. Titchulan ataras atruma, whether it makes sense or not. Because you have a minig shtus, so the minig is not binding. So the Tanaim had a machlekes, doesn't make sense. But chulan ataras akadish, that does make sense. So that's only a minig. That's not a real din. People adopted such, Kohanim adopted such a midas chasidus. Some of the Kohanim adopted a midas chasidus to practice all the time, always titchulan. Whatever they would eat, they would always eat chulin al taras al truma al taras al kodesh. So Tosfos says that's what the Tosefta means. Uve chulin ain't chaytzitzim. Only if you have a rubai hamakbid. If you have a miut hamakbid or a rubai shein hamakbid, that only constitutes a chatzitzim and derabbanon. So they never introduced it with respect to the netilas yadayim that of chulin. That's only a chumra, namely the fellow's washing because he wants to eat banana chulin al taras al truma chulin al taras al kodesh. So there, you don't have to be. It doesn't make sense to introduce the chumras of chatzitzes. The chatzitzes from the rabbanon don't apply there. That's how the balatayis is for emphasis the stira. Yeah, this is very strange. The Gemara said there's a takana that before a woman goes to mikveh, she has to do chafifa. She has to wash her whole body and she has to comb her hair to make sure there are no chatzitzes. So the Gemara says it's only a chumra mid the rabbanon. Menatara, it's not necessary. Why is it not necessary? Maybe there's a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, Minatara, it's necessary to be ma'ayin. She should check on her body. And midirabbanan, they made a takana, she needs chafifa, she has to wash the whole body with water, with warm water, and she should come here. What Minatara? It's necessary to check to see. How often did it happen in the history of the world that someone has a chatzitza on rubai hamakbid? Who has so much ink on their body? Even the painters don't have ink on 51% of the body. How can it be? The Gemara says that min haTorah you need iyune, you have to check on your body to make sure there's no chatzitza. It's never going to happen in a million years. Who's going to have? So that's what led the Gaonim to develop a different shita. We're choshish for the Gaonim a little bit. We really don't hold like that. The Rambam quotes the Gaonim that if you have ruba of the hair has a chatzitza on it, so that's also, you treat the hair as a separate unit. And the Rambam says, we don't accept that. The hair is part of the body. And the 51% to determine Rubai goes the hair with the body. So some Rishonim add on, according to the Gaonim, every Aver is treated separately. This is one Aver. And this is one Aver. And this is one Aver. So if you have ink on 51% of the tip of the pinky, that's going to be Rubai or Makbid, or sometimes Rubai Beina Makbid. So the Rishonim say, the Meiri says, that the meaning that the women have to be, let's say they have a little chatzitza somewhere on the stomach, just a half an inch by half an inch. So the reason why the meaning is that they're makbid to remove every chatzitza, because that chatzitza, if it would have been over here, would have been a rubai. it would have been sometimes the Ruba HaMakbid. So it depends what part of the body it's on. So that's why the minig, the women developed a minig to remove all chatzitzis, even if it's on that part of the body, on the arm. So the arm is a long bone from here to here. So to have Ruba is going to be, you have to have an awful lot of ink. But if the chatzitz of ink or paint would have been on the tip of the pinky, it would have been very little. So because there, Ruba is very little, so the women accepted a minig to be machmer and everything. So if you say like the goyim, then you understand the Gemara. Minatari, you have to have iyuna, you have to check to make sure there's no Rubo. It can't mean Ruba on the whole body. The person would know that they have a chatzitz.
Bandages,
okay. That's possible. Rare, okay. A person is so wounded he has bandages all over the place. Okay.
Can we go to the Mikvah to add all the bandages?
Yeah. Okay.
By the Mikvah Ladies Union or something.
Yeah. So, Nachama, so we have a Braisa. The Braisa says there are three different shiurim. The Netilas Yadayim for Chulin is the less amount. So Rashi says that's the second, what do you call it? Second
joint.
The middle, okay. And then for Truma is the till the knuckles. And then for Duchening is the next joint, which is the wrist. Do we paskin like that?
Why did they come up with something so nebulous and something just parak, and you have to guess?
And Tyson is going to disagree with Rashi. Tyson doesn't agree on this. So, I don't know. That when they used to say over the Brises were originally recited Baal Peh. They were not written down. The Torah Shebaal Peh was not supposed to be written down.
Right.
So when the Brises were originally recited Baal Peh, they used to say it over here and over here and over here. Yeah. So that's what, like there's such a Gemara in Makkos also. The Gemara says there are five locations on the beard that if you shave with the razor, you get Malkus. So where is it? The Gemara says there, and there. So he was demonstrating when he said. So we weren't there. We don't have the picture. We don't know exactly where the five places are. So that's why Shulchan Aruch says you should never use a razor on any part of the beard because we don't know where the five spots are. But the Gemara says there are only five locations that you really like it. So here also, the Brises, the Mishnais, the Brises, original, everything was recited Baal Peh, and they would say it with a demonstration. Omar Rav, here on the fourth line. So do we paskin like this Brises? That there are three different spots. The most lenient is for Netilas Adayim for bread, and a little more stringent is for Netilas Adayim for Truma, and the most chomer is for Kiddush Adayim Raglaim and the Beis HaMikdash. Duchening is the same as Kiddush Adayim Raglaim. So that'll be relevant for us, Halacha Lamaisa. Omer Rav, so Rav is demonstrating Ad Kan L'Chulin, Ad Kan L'Chuma. That's the halacha like it says in the Braisa, up until one joint for Chulin, and the next joint is for Chuma. He's going along, he paskins like the Braisa. Ushmuel Amar, he doesn't think we should paskin like the Braisa, Ad Kan Bein L'Chulin, Bein L'Chuma. It's the same joint for Chuma, for Chulin it's the same, you have to wash to the same joint. So which is it? Are you machmer for eating bread the same as truma, or are you makel for eating truma the same as bread? Which is it? So the Gemara says, bein l'chul and bein l'truma, l'chumra. They should both go l'chumra. In other words, when you wash until it's yadayim for bread, you should wash till the knuckles. Rav Shesha Samar, ad kan bein l'chul and bein l'truma, l'chula. No, you can be makel on both. You can be makel even al chil l'truma, not like the Braisa. They're both saying, Shmuel and Rav Shesha, both saying not like the Braisa, but one is saying not like the Braisa lahachmer, even for eating bread, chulin, you should go till the knuckles, and the other one says, no, even for eating truma, you could be mekel, till a lesser amount. Omar Bar Hadaya, one of the Amoraim says, I happen to be present, habikoimna kameder Rebbe Ami, I was once present by Rabbami be Omar, and he was giving a demonstration, and he said, Ad Kan, he points to this joint, Bein L'chul and Bein L'truma, L'chumra. You have to go L'chumra on both, like Shmuel said. You shouldn't follow the Braisa, that's Mekel, you should go L'chumra on both. But I tell you, you shouldn't think mistakenly, Rabbami, Mishum de Koyinhu, this Bar Hadaya says, I was in the presence of Rabbami, and he was Machmir. So you shouldn't think the reason why Rabbami was Machmir, he had a personal reason, because he was a Koyin, Mishum de Koyinhu. So because he used to eat truma in the days of the Amoraim, in Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbi Ami, we mentioned last week, I think. There were four people. There was Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, who were buddies. They both lived in Eretz Yisrael. Then Tosafot said there was Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Rav means a reverend. Today, you call a person a rabbi, that's a prisako, you call him a rav. That's a real rabbi. The days of the Gemara, the rav was a reverend. Rebbe meant the real smicha. So the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael had real smicha. The rabbanim in Bavel, you can't confer smicha in chutz lords. So the rabbanim in Bavel were Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. The rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael were Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi. So the Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, in the days of the early Amoraim, they still had Eifa Parah. They had Parah Aduma water. And they would be mitar themselves from Tumas Ameis. They would have Hazar Shlishi Shvi and go to the mikveh. In order to be allowed to eat, they couldn't eat karbonis, no Beis HaMikdash, there's not shach to eat karbonis, but they would still be able to eat Shuman. In the later generations, the whole paraduma water was all used up and there was nothing left. So you shouldn't think, shouldn't think that it was only a personal chumra of Rabbami because he was a kohen. And every day he was eating truma, so he was so used to washing lechumra to the further joint, so he made a personal chumra on himself that he should even wash for a sandwich of chulin, also to the later, to the Mohammed Gashir. No, that's not why. The Harab Mayasha, Bar Breder, Bishul Ben Levi, who levoa, because there was another rabbi who was a Levi, not a kohen v'omer, and he also said like Rabbi Ami, Ad kam ben chum ben chumra lechumra. So it wasn't the personal chumra of Rabbi Yami because of his circumstance, because he was a kohen. No, even if you're a Levi, even if you're Yisrael, and you don't have to make a personal chumra to otu truma, the proper thing is to go the chumra on both.
The whole purpose of the takana, Rabbi, was to protect the kohanim if they should. So obviously the chumra, because they eat truma, they shouldn't eat truma.
Yeah, but the Braisa did say not so. Right. So the Braisa is a little schwer. If they made a takana chulin, mishum srach truma, so it should be the same. So why should it be lahakel? So the Braisa says lahakel because only a loiplug is only otu, and they hold no. It's against the Braisa. Right. So here's the shaila when the Gemara says, the Gemara just says, we're talking this joint and that joint and that joint. These are the joints that you're talking about. So here, Tosfos presents that others disagree. That the first joint that you're talking about, is the knuckles. That the most lenient is you have to wash till the knuckles. The next opinion is you have to wash, let's say for Truma, you have to wash till the wrist. And then for Kiddush Adar V'Galayim, you have to wash till the elbows. And then when the Gemara says with Machmed that Chulin is the same as Truma, so that means even for Chulin you have to wash till the wrist. So it's a Machlekes HaRishonim, and Shulchan Aruch they quote a Machlekes HaRishonim. When you're washing for bread, do you really have to wash till the wrist, or do you only have to wash till the knuckles? Shaila, which joint are you talking about here? So in Shulchan Aruch they pass in the Ikar Adin, you only have to wash till the knuckles. But we have a lot of water, so we may as well satisfy the other opinion. So all year long, 352 days out of 354 days of the Jewish calendar, we wash till the wrist. But on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, when you're not allowed to do rechitzas aguf, you're only allowed to wash to the extent that you're obligated to wash. You don't eat bread on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, but you have to wash until it's a dime when you wake up in the morning before you daven. So then we should revert back to the Ikar Adin, and you only wash till the knuckles. So everybody knows that from the kids of Shulchan Aruch. Everybody knows when we're little children, they say Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, you only wash till the knuckles, and on all year long you wash till the wrist to satisfy the other opinion. Today everybody knows that, so it's not an issue. The Beis Yosef, when he quotes this, so he says the first time a person washes. If a person takes a neder, so the neder is binding if he's bar mitzvah. What if a child takes a neder, he's way before bar mitzvah, the neder is not binding. What if the child takes a neder the year before bar mitzvah? So that's called mufla samach liyish. So there's a special din learned out from a pasuk that a mufla samach liyish the year before bas mitzvah by a girl from the age of 11, by a boy from the age of 12, the year before bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, So the neder is binding if he knows what he's talking about. Machlek is with his deraisa, the rabbana, but it's a din of mufla samachliyish. So a neder is, a minig is binding mitam neder. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's the way they read a Gemara in the Dorm. Min hagem abinding midirabbanon mitam neder. It's not min haTorah. It's midirabbanon that you treat a minig as if the person had taken a neder. So the Beis Yosef writes, the first time a person washes until it's a dime to the wrist, after she reaches the age of 11, after the boy reaches the age of 12, so you don't want it that it should be binding mitam neder. Then is what's it going to do? Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So the Beis Yosef says the first time, a year before bar mitzvah, you wash till the wrist, you should say b'li neder. You should have in mind b'li neder. We don't say b'li neder because before the age of 12, we already know for the kids of Shulchan Aruch that when it comes, he asks the child, he says, yeah, Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, you wash till the knuckles, and the rest of the year, you wash till the wrist. Whatever the explanation is, the kid knows that's what you do. So obviously he hasn't taken a neder. So that, many times you see Kohanim, when they go to Duchen, so they have the watch over here, all the way down. They don't have the watch over here. They have the watch all the way down over here. So when the Levim pour the water, they're not going to pour the water on the watch. They can ruin the watch. So they're careful not to pour all the way. So that's not right. That's not right. There's a machlekes. So we're showing him how far do you have to wash your kiddush nine raglaim? Till the elbow or till the wrist? But till the wrist, everybody holds. For Natilis a dime to eat bread or for Natilis a dime to eat truma, that's a question whether it's the wrist or the knuckle. So we're machmer all year long to the wrist, and Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, we revert back to the Ikar HaDin, it's enough till the knuckles. But for Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, the lenient opinion is till the wrist. That's why it says on Yom Kippur, the Kohanim are going to Duchen by Musaf. So when everybody washes in the morning, they only wash on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, you only wash till the knuckles. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, a Kohen, when he washes Negel Vas in the morning, he says, Anatil Zadayim should wash till the wrist. Because he says a bracha, Anatil Zadayim. And he wants that bracha to go on the Natil Zadayim that's going to enable him to duchen. Before you duchen, you have to wash Natil Zadayim. A second time, right. That's a machlekes. We've been learned in Soita, in Perek El and Amarim. There's a machlekes there. Rashi Tosis quotes a machlekes. Rashi, and we don't have the Rashi. Tosis has a machlekes, but the Rashi that they quote is there a din of tekef lenatila bracha by duchening? Do you have to wash until it's a dime to duchen right before you're about to duchen, or can you rely on until it's a dime that you did 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours ago in the morning when you woke up, you wash until it's a dime, and since then you didn't touch any mekamos amchusim shebegufay? So that's a machlekes. So lachmer will wash again. But the Kohen will not say a bracha. Why not? Because Mikar Adin, maybe he can rely on the Natilas Adam that he did all the way in the morning, when he woke up in the morning. So if the Kohen are only going to wash till the knuckles on Yom Kippur, and this for sure they have to wash till the wrist, so then when they wash till the wrist, before they duchen, they should say a bracha again on Natilas Adam. So that's why it says when the Kohanim wash their hands on Yom Kippur in the morning, they should wash till the wrist. But they should take a wash till the wrist. You can't just wash, you can't leave your wristwatch over here on the wrist and only wash over here. That cooler, that it's enough Mikar Adin to wash till the knuckles, that's only by bread or by eating truma. But by duchening, the chumer would be till the elbow, and the cooler is to the wrist. You have to wash the whole hand till the wrist.
Is the avodin of Selis, if the Kohan do avodin of Kiddush and Aglam,
I'm pretty sure it is possible. Yeah, I think so. If you didn't know Kiddush and Aglam, that way it is possible.
Do you know the Kohan wash up?
They're supposed to wash till the wrist? Yeah.
No, we don't.
Nobody washes till the elbow. That's the shita that we don't accept. That's the shita that we don't accept. But the shita that we do accept is till the wrist, but no one says less than the wrist. No one says less than the wrist, that's for sure. They don't say a bracha before duchening because we say maybe they didn't really have to wash at all. Maybe they have the right to rely on the Natil Sadam that they did in the morning 3-4 hours ago when they woke up in the morning. Shad is, what if the Kohen went to the bathroom in between? Then for sure he has to wash his hands again. So then he should have to say a bracha on the Natil Sadam. So the Mishnah Brewer throws in, even in such a case, that Evada has to wash his hands, the meaning is we don't say a bracha. Because maybe that's what one of the later Achranim came up with this issue. Maybe they were never misakan a bracha on the Tilas Yadayim for Kohanim washing for Duchen. Why not? If they're misakan a bracha for Kohanim eating Truma and for eating sandwiches of Chulin for everybody, so why shouldn't there be misakan a bracha for Kohanim washing for the Tilas Yadayim for Duchen? And all the Rishonim, they assume you, there is a bracha needed for Kahan and washing for Duchne, but you don't say a bracha because Suffolk maybe can rely on the Netila in the morning. But if he went to the bathroom in between, so for sure you can't rely on the Netila Sadaim in the morning. So the long, the big Taisvus here, Omar Rav, Ad Kahan, the Taisvus works out the different shittas. Where's Ad Kahan? You have to really wash till for bread, you have to wash till the wrist or till the knuckles. And then for Kiddush and Darvang Lime, you have to wash till here. So they quote a Gemara in Erchin, Behishtal Shlos Advarim. So it comes out there's a Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos here. Where do you put the Tefillin Shel Yad? So we put the Tefillin Shel Yad ala Kivoris. That's what the Gemara says. What's Kivoris? The muscle. Kivoris means the place where it bulges up. And Rashi Sheet is that you put the Tefillin Shel Yad below the elbow. You put it over here. And Tosfos screams, there is no such thing. We don't do like Rashi. We wear tefillin to Rashi, but we don't put it where Rashi put the tefillin. So Tosfos shows how all of these things are interconnected. It depends how you read all the Gemaras. So the Kohanim have to wash till the elbow, and where do you put the tefillin shayad? It's all connected based on Gemaras. Okay, we'll stop here, believe that, and next week we'll continue. In the end of Parshas Bo'i, we have for the first time mentioned in the Chumash the mitzvah of tefillin, and we have the mitzvah of Korban Pesach mentioned, and the mitzvah of matzah mentioned. In the middle of all of this, it says Shamarta Sechuka Hazos L'mayado Miyamim Yamima. So the Gemara has a whole Machlekes Hatanah. We learned the last perek in Erevin. I might say tefillin. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. Which chukah are we talking about? We're talking about chukas hatfilin, or we're talking about chukas hapesach? How do you translate miyamim yamima? You should lay tefillin daily, miyamim yamima, each day you should lay tefillin. And then it sounds like miyamim velo lelos. You don't lay tefillin balaylo, only in the daytime. And you only lay tefillin miyamim velo kol yamim, not every day. Certain days of the year you don't lay tefillin. When are there certain days you don't lay tefillin? Shabbos v'yantav, lav zman tefillin. So if you learn the pasuk v'shamarta sachukah hazos goes on chukas hatfilin, so then you're saying that laila loves mantfilin, because it says minatara laila loves mantfilin. The Gemara says for sure it's not proper to put on tefillin by laila, but it's a machlekes hatanaim whether it's a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. So most of the rishonim hold it's only a din mederabbanan. Gzeir Hashem meyishem bohem laila is manshina. That's when people go to sleep. And gzeir Hashem meyishem bohem Hashem meyafiach bohem. When the person is sleeping, he can't control himself. So he may pass gas, and that's a violation of kavod tefillin. A person has to have a guf naki when he's wearing the tefillin, so when he sleeps, he may not be able to have, he's not in control, he's not conscious. He may not be able to have the guf naki. So that's if you hold that it's only the rabbanon. And sometimes hold it's a din deraisa. You can only lay tefillin in the daytime, not at nighttime, and not every day. Shabbos and yontif is lav zman tefillin, and v'shamarta means that it's an iser. Shamartim, whenever it says Ishamar, Penaral, it means that it's a loisese. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to put on tefillin balaylo, according to this Tan, it's an Iser, and you're not allowed to put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. The other Tanoim disagree, and they say, no, B'chukas HaPesach HaKosim Medaber. It goes on Pesach, and it goes on Matzah. The Pesach talks about Pesach and Matzah. And Miyamim Yamima means annually. Rashi writes, Mishana Lashana. Rashi writes, Mishana Lashana. What it means. So the pasuk isn't talking about tefillin. It all talks about chukas haPesach. So what's the story with tefillin balaylo? So it's only the rabbana that it's not proper. That's the shaila. The whole reason why you're not allowed to wear tefillin balaylo if it's only the rabbana. Gzeir Hashem miyishem behem, Hashem miyafiach behem. What if he already slept all night long and he wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning? He has to go to work. So he's not going to fall asleep again. He got dressed and he is ready to move on. So if you hold the putting on tefillin balayla is only midirabbanan, gzeir Hashem yishem behem, Hashem yafiach behem. So if he had a good night's sleep and he woke up in the morning, he can lay tefillin say a bracha at 5 o'clock in the morning. No, the Gemara is mashma like that. That if it's only the rabbanan, then if you already slept, then you're allowed to say the bracha on tefillin. But if you hold laila loves man tefillin, it's a din deraisa. Laila loves man tefillin in a Torah. Then all night long you're not allowed to wear tefillin. You have to wait till the morning. So that was Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer. Under the communists, they had to wake up way early in the morning and they had to go to work, and they wasn't shaykh. They couldn't wear tefillin on the job. So he said, I had a breira to tell him they should lick tefillin on abracha. He said, tell them to do a mitzvah on abracha, they're going to stop doing the mitzvah. They're going to realize that there's something fishy over here. So he paskin let them lick tefillin with abracha. He said, meikra din, we really, the Rambam paskins, like the Tana, that the pasuk goes on chukas hatfillin, and laila loves man tefillin in ator. But he says, Rav Rishonim don't paskin like that. Rav Rishonim paskin, the pasuk goes on korban pesach, and yamim amima means annually, and Laila is man tefillin in Atar, it's only exer de Rabbanon, and therefore if you woke up after a whole night's sleep, you're not going to go to sleep. So you may say a bracha on tefillin. So he says, it was a big shas atchak. So he said, rather than have all the people lick tefillin without a bracha, he told them they should put on the tefillin with a bracha. Because otherwise they'll be negligent, they're not going to do. Then the Mechilta has an additional comment. We know the Gemara talks about bedikas atfillin. The Gemara says, you should be bodik the mezuzah from time to time. You should be bodik the tefillin to make sure that everything is kosher. So the Mechilta derives that institution of bedikas hatfillin and bedikas hamezuzah from this pasuk of Shamarta sachuka hazois. V'shamarta, you should check the tefillin and check the mezuzahs. Yeah, that's on the assumption that the chukah goes on the chukas hatfillin. But if it goes on chukas hapesach, it has nothing to do with bedikas hatfillin. So there are quite a few issues. If you hold the pasuk is talking about Korban Pesach, so where did you get the idea that you don't wear tefillin Shabbos and Yom Tov? So many Tanaim did wear tefillin Shabbos and Yom Tov. Many Tanaim held Shabbos and Yom Tov is man tefillin, you're mechuyav to wear tefillin. And the majority opinion was that not. So how can it be a machlekes whether you're mechuyav to wear tefillin or you're not allowed to wear tefillin? So the Pashto says, even if you hold that Shabbos Yom Tov is lav zman tefillin, it's not an iser, it means you're not mechuyav to wear tefillin. But if you want to, you may. That's how the Maharam points out on the bottom of the Marshah, at the end of the first Perek in Beitza, he proves from the Gemara like that. That the Gemara seems to imply the Shabbos of Yom Tov lav zman tefillin means you're not mechuyav, but if you want to, you may put on tefillin.
That's why you can't put on tefillin, though.
Why? Zman Grama, yeah. We say tefillin is a Zman Grama because Shabbos v'yontav is lav Zman tefillin. Yeah. Because you're putter, right.
Then if you find tefillin, you're allowed to put on tefillin right?
In order to save it. In order to save it, right. So that's the shot. If you learn that from this pasuk, it goes on tefillin, then we assume Shamarta is an Easter, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos v'yontav. If you have a shamarta goes on Korban Pesach, it's not talking about tefillin at all. So you learn that from a different pasuk that you don't wear tefillin Shabbos Yom Tov means you're not mechuyev to. But if you want to, you may. So this, throughout all the generation, this was a major machlekes hatanoim and rishonim and psak halacha, halacha lemaisa. How do you understand this pasuk? What is it talking about?
Tefillin is muktzah on Shabbos.
Shaila where the tefillin are muktzah on Shabbos. That's a chumrah. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say.
Is there an issur for women to put on tefillin? There an issur for women?
The Ramah says that tefillin need a guf noki. And Mizmana said nobody has a guftan, so we cut it down to the bare minimum. So Tanan, Mizmana Gemara, Tanan used to wear tefillin years before the bar mitzvah. We don't allow it. And Noshim and Avadim usually can volunteer. We don't allow anyone to volunteer. And the men used to wear tefillin all day long. We don't allow that. They cut it down mamish to the bare minimum. So that's why the women, it doesn't mean that women have a bigger problem of guftanaki than the men. The Rav learned, everybody has a problem with guftanaki. That's why we cut it down to the bare minimum. So we don't allow anyone to do what they're not mechuyev to, absolutely mechuyev to do.
But mitzvah mitzvah shesh is my drama. It's no different than shofar.
Should have been no different.
So if it was just mitzvah
shesh is my
drama, then if they wanted to,
they would be able to put on tefillin. Yeah, and say Ebrachim. Because of the issue of the gufnokim, so we say everybody has a problem with the gufnokim, so we cut it down to the bare minimum for everybody.